Today's scripture reading is taken from 1 Samuel 20th chapter 12 to 24 verses. It's in page number 292. 1 Samuel 20th chapter 12 to 24. Then Jonathan said to David, "I swear by the Lord, the God of Israel, that I will surely sound out my father by this time, the day after tomorrow. If he is favorably disposed towards you, will I not send you word and let you know? But if my father intends to harm you, may the Lord deal with me, be it ever severely, if I do not let you know and send you away in peace. May the Lord be with you as he has been with my father. But show me unfailing kindness, like the Lord's kindness, as long as I live, so that I may not be killed. And do not ever cut off my kindness from my family, not even when the Lord has cut off every one of David's enemies from the face of the earth." So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, "May the Lord call David's enemies to account." And Jonathan made David reaffirm his oath out of love for him, because he loved him as he loved himself. Then Jonathan said to David, "Tomorrow is the new moon feast. You will be missed because your seat will be empty. The day after tomorrow, towards evening, go to the place where you hid when his trouble began, and wait by the stone Ezel. I will shoot three arrows to the side of it as though I were shooting at a target. Then I will send a boy and say, 'Go, find the arrows.' If I say to him, 'Look, the arrows are on his side of you, bring them here,' then come. Because as surely as the Lord lives, you are safe. Then there is no danger. But if I say to the boy, 'Look, the arrows are beyond you,' then you must go, because the Lord has sent you away. And about the matter you and I discussed, remember, the Lord is witness between you and me forever." So David hid in the field, and when the new moon feast came, the king sat down to eat.
Wonderful. Thank you, Eliza. Now, loyalty gets tested in crunch moments, doesn't it? I wonder what you were chatting about a moment ago. Maybe it's the Six Nations. Maybe Dad is Irish, Mum's Welsh, and you're looking ahead to next weekend and you think, where are the loyalties going to lie? Or maybe you find yourself wandering down the Cruis Road and everyone in the friendship group is hungry for a bit of Greek. And the big question then arises, are you team Hellenic or are you team Maria's? Or maybe you've got two tickets to the Oasis concert in the summer, enough for you and one other person. And who's it going to be? Is it going to be the best friend, or is it going to be the boyfriend or the girlfriend? Sometimes we'd love to have both, but we have to choose. Now, some of those are quite trivial examples, but sometimes those choices are quite gut-wrenching. Maybe it's the your sister's wedding coming up, and the day clashes with your best friend's hen do. Or think about those families in eastern Ukraine who may be being asked, perhaps even at gunpoint, what team are you on? You team Ukraine? You team Russia? See, sometimes loyalties get tested in crunch moments. Maybe even that loyalties get revealed in crunch moments. And in today's story, Jonathan has a crunch moment. If you've not been here the last few weeks, we've been following the life of David. David was the Lord's anointed king, but he wasn't king yet. Saul was still king, and Jonathan is stuck right in the middle. Jonathan is Saul's son, and he's David's closest friend. And the crunch moment was upon him. Who would he choose? Would it be Team Saul, or would it be Team David? Would it be his best friend, or his own father? He'd love to have both, but sometimes he's got to choose. And this crunch moment would test Jonathan's loyalties. It would reveal Jonathan's loyalties. And as we think about the idea of loyalty this morning, we're going to see three things about Jonathan's. And here's the first. that it was a surprising loyalty. It was a surprising loyalty. Maybe when we hear Jonathan and David, we think famous friendship. Famous friendship. What a duo. And we love a good duo, don't we? We love Bezzy Mates. We love a bromance. We love a brother from another mother. Think Buzz and Woody. Maybe it's Chase and Marshall. Maybe it's Ryan and Ryan. Maybe it's Morecambe and Wise. We love a famous friendship, and David and Jonathan slots right in. We're so used to the friendship that we actually forget how surprising it was. You see, David is a young man. Jonathan was at least 25 years older. He was old enough to be David's father. David was the son of just a regular family. Jonathan was royalty, the son of a king. Jonathan was heir to the throne. David was his father's replacement. And yet, Jonathan is content to say to David, "I will be second to you." So you remove God from the situation, and David is Jonathan's rival. David is his natural adversary. David is a threat. Later in this chapter, King Saul cannot understand why Jonathan doesn't see it that way. Saul says to his son Jonathan, "As long as the son of Jesse, that's David, lives on this earth, neither you nor your kingdom will be established. Send someone to bring him to me, for he must die." See, Jonathan's loyalty must have seemed bizarre, odd, incomprehensible. It's a surprising loyalty. Second, it was a costly loyalty. Jonathan binds himself to David, whatever the cost. Right from the start, Jonathan is all in with David. Jonathan says to David, "Whatever you want me to do, I'll do for you." So they hatch a plan. Step one is to sound out Saul. David's going to miss an important meal at King Saul's table, and Jonathan would watch. How would Saul respond? If Saul was angry, well, then they'd know Saul really did intend harm to David. Step two was the secret signal. Jonathan needed some way of letting David know what the result was. They hatch a plan. Jonathan will shoot some arrows into a field. David will be hiding there. If Jonathan says one thing, it means come home, all is safe. If he says another thing, it means run for your life. But Jonathan is all in. And he soon discovers that being loyal to David means being treated like David. You see, last week it was insults and threats, and even spears were flying at David. And now they come flying at Jonathan. Verse 33, Saul hurled his spear at Jonathan. See, Jonathan behaves honourably to his father throughout. But to be loyal to David means being treated like David. It was a costly loyalty. So what on earth motivated Jonathan? Why does he choose Team David rather than Team Saul? Well, third, it was a faith-filled loyalty. See, who was David to Jonathan? Was David a contender to the throne? No. David was the Lord's anointed in Jonathan's eyes. Was David a rival for the crown? No. David was its rightful recipient. You see, with the eyes of faith, Jonathan views David not as others see him in the present, but as he one day would be in the future. See, Jonathan knew that David was the Lord's king. And it's hard to stress how shocking verse 15 is. How astonishing Jonathan's words are in verse 15 as he says to David, "David, do not cut off your kindness from my family, not even when the Lord has cut off every one of David's enemies from the face of the earth. And we think, hang on, Jonathan, what are you talking about? Saul is king. David is in a tailspin. Everything is going from bad to worse to David. David himself says in verse 3, there is but a step between him and death. And yet here's Jonathan talking about the day when the Lord will cut off every one of David's enemies. We think, Jonathan, what planet are you on? But Jonathan views David not as he is in the present, but as he one day will be in the future. See, the Lord and the Lord's purposes for David are a living reality for Jonathan. Don't miss the fact that in those 11 verses we heard read, Jonathan speaks of the Lord 10 times. Saul doesn't mention the Lord's name once in this whole chapter. Jonathan sees David with the eyes of faith. Was David cast off now? Well, Jonathan knew that one day he'd be crowned. Was David alone now? Jonathan knew that one day he'd be adored. Was it spears today? Well, Jonathan knew it would be cheers tomorrow. Two chapters later, he says, "Don't be afraid." This is Jonathan to David. "My father Saul will not lay a hand on you. You shall be king over Israel, and I will be second to you. Even my father Saul knows this." So what has this got to do with us? Well, yes, this chapter has wonderful things to teach us about friendship. It reminds us, for example, that openness and warmth and affection and love are healthy elements of a deep friendship, including friendship between men. That there is no reason why people who go to war together, like David and Jonathan, cannot also weep together, like David and Jonathan. That openness and warmth and affection are not effeminate or embarrassing things between men, something to be avoided. They're the things to be aimed for. There are a few contexts which forge this kind of friendship between men. The military is one example. Gangs, sadly, often another. Or the Church of Jesus Christ should be right up there on that list. That as brothers and sisters together, we are fighting in the greatest war imaginable. And yet how many Christians, men or women, experience the depth of friendship like this? Well, perhaps the first place is actually just to get connected. Maybe the next women's breakfast or men's breakfast, life group, Nexus, dawn or dusk readers, the midweek group. But I suggest that the main lesson that David and Jonathan teach us is not about friendship, but about discipleship. Not about how we relate to our peers, but how we relate to our Lord. That David was not merely Jonathan's friend, he was Jonathan's king. And like Jonathan, we will face crunch moments. Moments where we're forced to choose. Moments that test or even reveal our loyalties. Perhaps it's with friends. Maybe in the playground. Or in the common room or in the bar. When what's being done or not done or laughed about or talked about or watched, and we feel that sinking feeling, and we know, I have to choose here. Fitting in with friends or loyalty to Jesus. I'd love it to be both, but here in this situation, I have to choose. Or maybe it's with family. It was for Jonathan. Like Jonathan, we always want to show honour to our parents. But sometimes, maybe an opinion we hold because of scripture, maybe a way that we use our money, maybe a decision that we've taken that our family doesn't approve of, or a decision they've taken which we can't support. Maybe it's even the decision to become a Christian in the first place. And we know that standing with Jesus will mean being treated like Jesus. And the insults and the slings and the arrows are going to be coming in our direction. Or maybe it's work. A corner is cut, something dishonest is done, we're expected to look the other way. We know the coursework will be done like that with ChatGPT. Maybe it's a pressure to celebrate something that we know as Christians is wrong. And again, we feel that sinking feeling. And we have to choose. Advance in career or loyalty to Jesus. So what will motivate us? Well, it's only if, like Jonathan, by faith, we see the king as he one day will be, knowing that it might be spears today, but it'll be cheers tomorrow. Only if, like Jonathan, we know that the king's love for us exceeds even our love for him, that our souls are knit together in love, connected by covenant, that he is our friend. Only if, like Jonathan, we know that we can entrust to the king all things for his safekeeping, protected for the day when all his enemies will be put under his feet. The king has promised nothing less. Truly I tell you, says Jesus, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me in the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. And may the Lord give us faith to see Jesus as he one day will be. And perhaps we'll begin to feel rising up within us those words of Jonathan as he says to the king, whatever you want me to do, I'll do for you. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we praise you for your Son, our King. We pray, Lord, that you would give us an undivided heart that we might fear your name. Open the eyes of our heart that we might see him as he truly is. And help us to be loyal to him in our lives here now. In Jesus' name, amen.